right now on VFN TV, the real Hunger Games, right south of America in Venezuela, where a whole month's wages is only buying worth 2 days' worth of food. We're going to be talking about that. In addition, we'll be talking about how God spoke prophetically, physically prophetically, about the Constitution of the United States and Israel and the church, what's going to be happening, what's going to take place, and finally, rethinking the church right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, "Does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos."
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is we've been infiltrated.
What do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracle signs and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about 1 million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you don't write the chains.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee. It's time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics,
abbiamo ricevuto tanto.
We've
dal
received
movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo a voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement.
I'm telling you, we can make a difference. But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the word comes together with the spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolosewski. I don't know if you caught it or not, but there was a movie out called The Hunger Games. It was all about having to be able to fight for your food, to be able to whoever's the strongest gets the most food. It was kind of crazy, but yet it was kind of prophetic. It's prophetic in regards to saying, you know what? We're seeing this take place, a real Hunger Games, just south of America's border in Venezuela, where over a month's wages it takes to buy 2 days worth of food. 100,000 plus people are crossing the border a day going into Colombia to be able to get food. The crisis is happening. It's like the real life Hunger Games. As they embrace socialism, this is what happens. Let's take a look.
Civil unrest in Venezuela as the country continues its slide into a socialist black hole. Low oil prices and rampant corruption combine to cause acute shortages of almost everything. The nation's capital, Caracas, is now the most violent city in the world, with more murders last year in this one city than in all the countries of the European Union put together. Reports are surfacing from around the country of people hunting dogs, cats, and pigeons for food. And demonstrations are cropping up to protest the harsh conditions. On the country's western border with Colombia sits Cúcuta, a city of 600,000. Almost a year ago, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro closed the border with Colombia after an attack by alleged Colombian paramilitaries. But the severe shortages are changing that. The people are defying the border closures en masse, with over 100,000 people crossing this bridge into Cúcuta in the space of one weekend.
Thousands of people are streaming back across the border into San Antonio, Venezuela, after coming across into Colombia yesterday to buy things that they just can't get anymore in Venezuela. Things like toilet paper, toothpaste, rice, sugar, very simple everyday items. But they're saying that the stores there are empty and the people are going hungry.
Raul Pineda had to skip meals in order to be able to feed his children.
There's no medicine. Very little food. The food the country produces isn't enough for everyone.
Several months ago, Raul escaped with his wife and children to Colombia.
Since the border is closed, we had to pay a bribe to cross, and our family stayed behind.
But the situation isn't much better for Venezuelan refugees inside Colombia. Jobs are so scarce that many turn to prostitution or crime, while those who bring money with them find that it doesn't last long.
1 month's pay only covers about 2 days of food.
This brings to light a bigger problem. Many Venezuelans cry for joy when they see fully stocked shelves in Colombia, only to cry again when they find out how little their money will buy. Marlenis Peña's grocery store sits only a few hundred meters from the border crossing. She's doing a very brisk business.
The people really don't know how little their money will buy here, so they fill their carts, and when they come to the register, they find out they only have enough for the essentials.
The money changers along the border say Venezuelan bolivars are nearly worthless. In 2012, they were worth about 25 cents apiece, but today, one U.S. dollar will buy almost 900 bolivars. As hyperinflation sets in, experts are predicting a 1,600% increase in inflation next year, which means a dollar could buy as many as 90,000 bolivars.
He says to buy a loaf of bread, I would almost need a bag full of this currency. in Venezuela. The only problem is there isn't any bread in Venezuela, and that's why the people are coming across the border here to Colombia.
Local churches are stepping in to help with care packages and even provide housing for their neighbors who are in need. In the meantime, Colombia and Venezuela are in talks to reopen this border crossing as a humanitarian corridor on a more permanent basis.
At first, it was a little difficult, but thanks to God and to the church that helped us to be able to live here, well, here we are.
From Cúcuta, Colombia, I'm Chuck Holton for CBN News.
You're looking at the financial collapse. You're looking at somebody who embraced socialism. We just had in our previous program the leader now of Venezuela, of these countries, they're beginning to say, you know what, we're going to force people to have to go work for the government in Venezuela. They're telling them that you're going to have to mandatorily go out and serve as a servant of the government for at least 2 months, if not more. It's the beginning of being a slave or a servant to the government. This is exactly, I don't know if you caught it or not, but Isaiah Ramos, one of the VFN interns, was on VFN TV, and he talked specifically about how the Lord showed him prophetically in a dream this was going to take place. I remember him telling me years ago, well, when he first heard this from the Lord, and his heart was just broken as he's seeing firsthand what it's going to look like. And it looks just like what's taking place in Venezuela. But the big question you want to ask yourself is, how did Venezuela get here? Well, thanks to Gordon Robinson, he's going to begin to explain it, how we got there, and potentially, if we don't wake up as America, we could end up in the very same place. Let's take a look.
You look at that story and you just wonder, how in the world did they get there? Well, it all started years ago when they started to tilt towards Cuba. And they took on a socialist government. And in that process, that was very appealing. They said the government will take care of you, the government will provide, and all these kinds of things. And then that put a lot of weight on the government to supply things. And so how does a government do that? Well, Venezuela was thinking at the time, well, we have all these oil reserves. Let's nationalize all of it so all of it goes into the treasury. And this socialist utopia will work and it'll be fueled on oil dollars. Well, there became a crash in the price of oil. And it got down to in the $20. Now it's in the mid-40s. And it worked at $100 a barrel, but it doesn't work at $40 a barrel. And so they started printing money in order to fulfill their obligation. And in that printing of money, you devalue your currency where it's no longer as valuable as it used to be. And that gets you into horrible situations where you can't stock shelves, you can't have a free market, you can't have productivity. It just turns into this nightmare. That's what's going on. Now, look at our own country. We're not tilting towards socialism, at least not yet. But you look at our debt, you look at how we're printing money in order to have these qualitative easings and all of this kind of thing. What happens when our currency isn't as strong as it used to be? We talk about the almighty dollar, but what happens when it turns into that? That's why I'm very concerned about our national debt. I'm very concerned about all these social programs being added on to our federal government and the obligation of the people of the United States of America. We need to wake up, because if we don't, this will soon be so huge we won't be able to solve it for generations.
You better wake up, or this will be something we cannot solve because it's going to get so big. It's happening. Our own leaders right now, there is a election before all of America. And it has nothing to do with Washington, D.C. This is the election. Will we elect to continue to be one nation under God, to understand that God is one that allowed this nation to be blessed? He's the one that gave us the freedom that we have today. He's the one that's blessed us like we've been blessed. Or are we going to turn to government and big government? We're seeing what happens with Venezuela. And as I said earlier, as you heard on a previous program, Isaiah Ramos began to talk about it. He had other dreams during that time as well. As he was sharing, it looked just like Venezuela in regards to people being violent and bartering food. And it's like, this is what God has been telling us. This is what's happening. Are you prepared? You know, we actually have for you, you can sign up for our newsletter. It's called the Torch Newsletter. It comes to you every week. You need to be in tune with the news. You don't need just to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And God lets us know in advance before things happen, not so we can just tell people I knew it, so we can change the news. If we don't like the direction that we're going, if he tells us ahead of time, we can repent and turn from that direction. You can sign up for the Torch newsletter today by going to VFNTV.com. Upper right-hand corner, it says sign up for the Torch. Put in your email address and you sign up and it comes to you. But we've got a free gift for you. The gift's very important. If Venezuela would have had this gift, they would have been prepared for 90 days because you've got to begin to prepare. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, listen, a prudent man sees danger. They see Venezuela. They see what's happening in Washington, D.C. They see what's happening in Russia. They see what's happening in the Middle East. And he says they prepare for it. But a fool keeps going and suffers for it. As a free gift to you, it's called Prudent Preparation. As soon as you sign up for that newsletter at VFNTV.com, it'll come immediately to your email. You can start listening to it, and you can prepare now. Because what God is showing us, Venezuela just might be in America's future. Join us after the break. We're going to be talking about the Constitution and what happened in my office as I was preparing for a gathering to speak to all the VFN family. And it was pretty dramatic, so much so that Pat Hamilton almost jumped out of his chair. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement. And we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid. Where God is moving, where he is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is Prudent Preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well.
And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It is you're looking at hunger. I mean, we had a little taste of hunger, but not like most countries that are really suffering for the lack of food. But as Christians, you know, we should be able to fast, just put food aside and just focus on God, fasting and prayer. But even the church today doesn't do a lot of fasting, which means we can't even survive without food for a day. How many people say, you know, that just, I'm not into that fasting thing. Well, Venezuela has no choice.
Yeah.
They're like, we got to fast this week. You know, a mother was fasting. She was actually feeding her child. Food, we're just so blessed. I don't know what the percentage is. You can tell me maybe, but most of our food is prepared. I mean, America's food is prepared like by 2% of America. So 2% of our population prepares the food for the other 98%. And most of our food, I believe, comes from at least 1,000 miles away. So if you're going to your supermarket and you're buying your little Pop-Tarts, like Pat likes his Pop-Tarts,
adding
little
fruit,
sugary
little
stuff
fruit
on
to
top.
The diet.
Yes. And that thing comes from like 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
It potentially could be, when you fill your buggy up with your groceries, they still have buggies in stores, right?
Or most people call it a cart.
Cart. And and so think about it, comes truckers and trains bring that food from 1,000 miles away. Now imagine Venezuela. Imagine the U.S. dollar is about worth an entire month's wages. You can only buy 2 months worth of food. I mean, that's what's happening right now. That's what's taking place. And so what do we do with that? Well, one thing the Lord said specifically, I was preparing, I was praying, you know, asking God, you know, to speak to me as I was going to speak to the VFN family across the nation. We were going to broadcast out to the family. And I was preparing in my office, and on my office, I had a picture of, as a matter of, you have that picture of Israel. You got to see this picture. This picture is very symbolic to me. It's what God blessed me with, as you can see. Here at the top of it, it has, well, the bottom of it, it has Israel, which is, you know, I don't know if you could see close up, but you have the roots and the, you know, the foundation of the word of God is the Jews brought the word to us. And then you have Yeshua, which is the vine, which is the trunk. And then you have the fruit and the branches, which is the church. So we're all one. We're all one. And so you're looking at, this represents Israel and the church. And so this is hanging on my office. This is hanging on my office, and I'm you know, and Pat's with me in my office, and we're talking about something. And I mean, God's got to make it simple for me, right?
I guess
all of a sudden, this picture, which is done by an artist that did it up for us, that it rips. It didn't just fall. It literally was ripped off the wall and thrown to the ground. It's kind of hard to see it and Pat because he was going in the air at the same time that was going down. It was such a ripping. Yeah. I can't even describe the ripping noise as it was. And when it fell, it kind of just cracked the frame a little bit. Everything stayed together. Everything was totally fine. And, but it was a shocker. So I calmed Pat down. And we got the painting, you know, the back up again. And then I hung it back up again. And
later on that night, as I'm studying, it just rips off again. Bam! At this time, I was a little less startled than Pat, but I was startled. And it reminded me of him jumping higher than I did. Both of us jumped. It startled us both. And it's like, you know, God was saying, you know, Israel is going to be hurt, but it's going to survive because it survived. The church and Israel held together, survived this huge ripping. I can't, you know, if Pat was on, he would tell you. It was just it was amazing that anything's, it's amazing that he survived. and so, you know, I'm going like, what meanest thou this, God, right? And now look at Israel now. All these years later, that's exactly what the Lord told me to say. And now you're seeing Israel totally surrounded. Our own nation has supported Iran getting weapons, and you're looking at Israel trying to hurt Israel and trying to hurt the church. It's exactly what's going on right now. You have China, the church is under persecution. Russia, the church is under persecution. Iraq, the church is under persecution. Syria, the church is under persecution. A priest was just beheaded on the altar in France at Normandy Church in France. I mean, the church, it's just exactly what God said. But one thing he told me at that time was, although the church is going to be attacked, Israel's going to be attacked the way it's being attacked, that we'll survive it, we'll make it. But let me show you what else happened. Something else was hanging on my office wall in a whole different place. And this is the United States Constitution. Now, the United States Constitution here is, it's obviously not the original one, but it kind of looks like it. And I had it hanging on my office, and it's totally glass. And I'm praying, you have to understand, I'm praying, God, what are you saying? Where are we going? What's the future? What do we need to do? And at that time, people were like, everything's always going to work out. And Israel and the church had already fallen, but they survived. It was just cracked a little bit. But all of a sudden, at nighttime, this particular type frame and that constitution was not just ripped off the wall, but it was thrown to a carpeted office and just fragmented, and you hear this big explosion take place. It was an explosion almost. I go into my office thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm thinking. I open the door, peek in the door, and look, and the Constitution was just shattered all over all the glass. Every piece of glass was covered over, and it's a large office, so there was glass everywhere. And the Constitution was laying, and it was damaged. The Lord began to tell me that both the church, Israel, and America are going to be under attack. And there is a chance. There is a chance that America, the American Constitution, will not make it. And this Constitution, which a lot of folks don't really know what it is, but there is no Washington, D.C. without the Constitution. Everything there, they say it's based on this article, that article. They're talking about the Constitution. And there are no rights without the Bill of Rights and the Constitution for all of us. And just like God said, now, remember, the last thing I want to say before we go to a break is that our leaders came together. And we come together at least once a year, and we try to hear what God's saying. And God has just really been graceful and merciful to us and telling us. I mean, we knew these things were coming before they come. But when everybody left that year, when all the leaders left, they left with an I Abide armband, which is saying, I abide with God, wrapped around the United States Constitution. Of course, they look at you like, this is it. We got to abide with God and turn to God so that we can have our Constitution. This thing is optional. Tyranny is the normal thing, as we heard on a previous program by Milton Friedman, talking about this is a very unusual experiment called freedom. But most history of most nations, they were under a king, they were under tyranny and that type of leadership, hard leadership. I sure would like this thing to last. I couldn't imagine this generation being under such, but look at Venezuela.
Yeah.
Venezuela already, 1 month's wages, buys 2 days worth of food. It's like the Hunger Games. They have to figure out how to feed folks. And now the government's on their way to enslaving their own population, saying, you got to work. You're going to have to grow food. At least 2 months, they're saying right now.
Which can be extended, they say.
Yeah, of course. It's always like, no, we don't want all of Israel. We just want a little Gaza Strip. But we will fire missiles from Gaza eventually. Listen, we have this offer for you. God has told us about this. You need to prepare, and you need to abide. That's one thing that the Lord has shown us all along. He's always said it in John 15. He said, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. And a lot of people want to do it. They just need a plan to do it. And we have a free plan for you. Wouldn't you like to keep the Constitution? Wouldn't you like to keep the freedom? Wouldn't you like to be able to help Venezuela instead of be Venezuela? Well, that only happens if we turn to God. We begin to abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. Guess what? We have a free plan available for you. It's an abiding plan. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and get your free plan today. You request it online. It'll be sent to you immediately, and you can begin to abide today. Take a look at this offer, and we'll be back after the break. Today's offer, offer 2010, for your partnership of any amount, is learning how to hold fast to what God has promised you no matter what. A life of honor. Life has a tendency to throw us curveballs. When it seems things are going one way, they end up going another. When it comes to the Word of God, the Word God has spoken over us, the promises of God, it's important to learn how not to let these curveballs throw you off. In this message, you'll learn how important it is to notice the Lord working in your town, honor Him, God in that, the ministers in your town, and making a place for the Lord and His ministers in your heart and home. You will see the amazing goodness of God and how He returns in greater measure the blessing and the honor that you give Him. And today, when so many people tied up in what's in it for me, we learn how to honor God and make room for Him. He will take care of us in a greater way than we could ever imagine when we honor Him. We'll also learn that if He said it, that settles it, and how to hold fast to the promises of God no matter what. In the natural, it may seem like it's over, but it's never over with God. Remember, Abraham, the father of faith, against all hope, in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. As children of faith, as believers, even us, against all odds, need to hold on to the promises of God and become everything God has set over us. Today's offer is offer 2010, learning to hold fast to what God has promised you, no matter what, a life of honor. To become a partner, go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now, or write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or call us at 844-408-3688. Today's offer is 2010, learning to hold fast to what God has promised you no matter what.
The conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church.
I'm Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly, and we want you to mark your calendars now for September the 11th at 6 p.m. for United in Prayer.
We're excited about bringing our churches together, and we want to invite you to join us at the Pensacola Bay Center on 9/11. We need spiritual awakening in our community.
And this is the time to gather the church. September the 11th, 6 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Floating on clouds. Everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible, and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, you know, I'm looking at chaos.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we said, that one thing the Lord said, you know, we're going to go through something.
Mm-hmm.
But the kingdom of God is forever. It's not going to be, you know, men are not going to defeat God. God's God.
Right.
I mean, he's not your co-pilot. He is the pilot of the universe of all creation.
Yeah.
And Israel will survive. It's going to, everything God said is going to happen. And we'll be talking in a future program about Erdogan and, you know, is this their night of long knives? And it looks like exactly that's what it was. And they're going to partner up with Iran, and they're going to be doing what they're doing in regards to coming against, you know, Persia and all that stuff that's happening. Prophetic. We'll talk more about that, but it's happening right now. The question is, okay, that's all happening, but what do we do as the church? Church as you know it right now, based on George Barna's stats, is spending $1.3 million per wet believer, per baptized believer.
For one.
One. You'd probably get two believers if you split that money and gave it to individuals. So if you'll serve the Lord, I'll give you $650,000. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
We're going to be held accountable for that. While people are starving in Venezuela, we're purchasing a $700 bouquet to go in front of a podium that cost thousands of dollars to preach a message that potentially nobody's going to do, or four or five may do it based on the, you know, statistics. Yeah. We talked about that before. They said the larger our gatherings are, and I love large gatherings of Christians, but the larger they are on a regular basis, the fewer people in that crowd that will actually do something. But the smaller the gathering, the more people that are activated in God.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost get away in your mind with not doing anything, except for what Bob Jones said when he died. He was standing toward the judgment seat of Christ, and 98%, Steve,
were in the other line.
The other line.
The larger line.
The other line. And the 2% were in the line that were going into heaven.
That's exactly what Jesus said.
He said, wide is the road that leads destruction, and most folks are going that way, but narrow is the way and hard is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to encourage you that we got to really pay attention. We got to rethink. What does he say? Let's get back to the scriptures again. Not just in theory, because 81%, according to George Barna, do not even pick up the Bible at all, much less read it.
Yeah.
And the 19% that do read it in America, only 3% in the context of what 3% read it in such a way that they're going to change their lives. That's almost like the 2% that we're going
in Bob Jones's line.
Oh my goodness. Let's go listen to Francis Chan and him talking about rethinking church. Take a look.
Just using the Bible, like you're not allowed to use any of your experiences, just use the Bible and explain church to them. What would you say? Okay, well, we've got to start with that. We have to start with God's word. Otherwise, we're going to start creating these things that we like or we want and go, well, I want this in a church. I want this in a church. And we could spend our whole life getting good at that even. But it would be almost like making a great bowl of spaghetti and then coming to the end of your life and God going, I ordered steak. I ordered something completely different. So what does the Word of God say about the church? I've been asking people this question, describe church just using the Bible. And four things keep coming up. The number one thing is love. They would say it's a group of people. They're like a family. They're so in love with one another. They care for one another. They meet one another's needs. It's like what's mine is yours. If I hurt, you hurt. It's just this body of people. Second thing that people say from the scriptures is it seems like it was a group of people that just had to get this message out. Like they were on a mission. There are people who do not know about Jesus, so this group assembled to figure out how are we going to get this message out to them. The third thing that they brought up was it seems like they gathered, and when they gathered, they were focused on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Like communion was a big deal, and they were devoted to praying for one another, fellowshipping with one another, and learning this book. And then the fourth thing that they would bring up is it seems like there was an equipping or a training that took place. Like there were leaders in the church that actually instructed the other people on how to do ministry, equip them for working, equip them for serving the Lord. And everyone has this gift, and so the leaders equip them to do those things. So that's what they're saying is church. And I would agree. When I look at the Bible, I don't know what you see, but I go, man, that's a beautiful picture. That's what I see about the church. And so then we have to ask ourselves, are we experiencing that? Am I experiencing that in my church? And I don't know what you go through or where you attend church, but in my experiences, in the churches I've observed and been a part of, it's rare when I see family. It's rare when I see that love that we were talking about, where you walk in to a gathering and go, I cannot believe how much these people love each other. I mean, if an unbeliever walked in, they'd be shocked going, I've never seen this kind of love. And then we can just say, man, that was the Holy Spirit. That's something that God's done in us. But when have you seen that? And then as far as urgency in mission, I don't know if I've ever seen a group of people that just go, okay, we've got to get the word out. We're on this mission. We got to get to all of these people. I mean, is that what you're experiencing in church? Thirdly, with the gatherings, are we really seeing this type of coming together where we're all using our gifts to bless one another, where there's this fellowship with one another, and there's this prayer for one another, and we're studying the Bible together, and we're putting the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you know, on the forefront and really celebrating that with one another as a family? I was going, gosh, it doesn't seem like there's that type of participation in the church. It feels more like going to the movies rather than going to the gym. You know, it's sit back and let them do it versus, no, I'm gonna give to this and I'm gonna leave feeling great because I put effort into this. And then as far as training, most of the churches I've been a part of, it feels like we're trying to recruit leaders rather than develop them and send them out. And it just seems like, man, how can we get this person? How can we gather all these people here rather than having that family mentality where we go, I'm going to raise my kids for 18 years. And then when they turn 18, I want them to be able to go out there, start their own jobs, eventually start their own families, take care of themselves. Instead, in the church, it's more like, hey, you know, I want my kids to live in my house for the rest of my life. It's like, no, we got to put that pressure on them. We got to train up these leaders, all these sheep that God's given you. The goal is let me raise them to stand on their own two feet and even start their own ministries. And so when we looked at the shortcomings of church experiences that we had, we said, you know, something has to change. It's not optional. And it's not like we have all these answers now. It's just saying we've got to experiment. We've got to just try something different. Maybe there's something in the way that we structure that would enable us to prioritize the things we see in Scripture. This has to be done. It has to change. So we said, okay, let's start a church. Let's start a new church. But let's put aside all those assumptions that we started with last time. Like when we start a church, we usually assume that means we need a preacher, a good preacher, right? How do you start a church without that? We need a building. We need a guy that leads a few songs. We need a youth pastor. We need a children's pastor. You know, we go down this road and go, okay, no, I don't see that in here. What do we need to start with? We need to start with people who are followers of Jesus who say, you know what? we will love one another like a family. And we will focus on this mission of getting the message of Jesus Christ and spreading his love to those who don't know it. And you know what? We are going to gather to train one another up, to build one another up, so that we can go out and really obey this word. And so by doing that, we said, okay, let's be careful not to get distracted by these other things. And what do we want to do? What is the form that this church is going to take? And one of the first things we decided was, let's meet in homes. Let's meet in homes because this will enable us to actually know each other, care for each other, and live like a family. Let's meet in house. This will also keep us from getting distracted by salaries, because you can shepherd 10 to 20 people without a salary. You can work a full-time job, and all we're saying is build into 3 or 4 people who will in turn build into 3 or 4 people. And so we're not distracted by that. We're not distracted by a building. You know, we have homes, so let's use those, and let's just focus on loving each other. Success is how much did we practically love each other throughout the week. Second thing we decided was, let's only be together for a year maximum. Okay? So 6 months from a year from now, we'll split into 2 churches, and you're going to hate it. You're going to hate when we multiply, because we're going to be so in love with each other. But for the sake of the mission, if we don't just determine we're going to divide and multiply, we're going to want to stay together forever, and we'll become this ingrown church, and we'll just be about each other and not about the mission that God called us to. And so it puts this great pressure of, you know what, I've got to be prepared. We're going to be dividing and multiplying and reaching the rest of the people. Third thing we decided was, let's read through the Bible together. Let's read through the Bible in a year. We'll read the same passages every day. And what this causes is now the focus is on the word itself rather than a messenger. Now when Sunday comes, we've already talked throughout the week about the passages that we studied. And so Sunday, you don't have this dire need for 45 minutes of instruction. Feed me everything I can from the Bible. I've already studied it for myself. I've learned to study, and I've fellowshipped over it. So now we can share what we've learned. And so we can just give a short little teaching and spend the majority of our time on Sundays praying for each other, really expecting results, and celebrating the Lord's Supper together. Let's prioritize. And God wanted us to get together just to remember his son. And we can fellowship and share a meal together. It's that type of gathering. And then the fourth thing that we decided is, okay, let's start training leaders. We have to. Because 6 months, a year from now, we got to have 2 of these. And so let's start raising up leaders. Let's teach theology to the key guys who are going to spread out and lead their own church. Let's prepare them as men of God, as elders, and get them out there. And so it's that type of mindset where we're producing leaders and we're gathering together in this way, and we're learning theology as we're doing ministry. And it's been a great process. Not that we have everything figured out, but it's been an amazing process. And a lot of this sprung up because I was a pastor for 17 years at one church. It was something we started in the home. And man, I tell you, it's one of the greatest experiences of my life. What an amazing season. We saw God do great things. And I was in love with that group of people. And a lot was done, so much fruit. But we also saw that there were limitations. And the larger we got, there was concern about, wow, is this the most effective way to use God's resources? I mean, when there were 20 people and we multiplied to 200, I go, man, that was great to see that type of growth come from those 20 people to 200 or 200 to 2,000. But when we had 4,000 people and we reached maybe, you know, 100 or 200, now we're going, okay, is this the most efficient way? Is there a way to do church that would resemble more like the church in China, where without buildings, without salaries, they were able to multiply in these homes and grow to an estimated over 100 million people? It's like, okay, could that same type of format happen here? And could we even do it in a way that it's more biblical and more love, more mission, more fellowship and the right attraction to the gathering, you know, and a multiplication of leaders, we believe it can happen. And again, I'm not saying, hey, this is the way to do it. I'm just saying this is something we've been pursuing. We've been loving it. And I believe we're going to spend the rest of our lives pursuing this dream.
That's just, you know, Francis was very frustrated with the church not being activated, not doing something. This is what he began to talk about and began to just explore the idea. And, you know, things just grow. I mean, it's a vine. The vine grows wherever it wants to go. And as he began to explore that, he found out, he says, in America, it's real difficult because many people don't want, people who profess to be a Christian don't want to follow
Jesus.
They don't
want to do
anything. Don't want to go tell people about him. They don't want to find out what, if 81% are not even reading his word, they don't want to know what he has to say and how their life would actually live. And so we're looking at it right now that things are shifting, things are changing, and that was one beginning of his journey, and he's beginning to see things. But it's good. It makes us think. It makes us rethink, what are we doing with church? Why are we doing what we're doing? And Vine Fellowship Network, we begin to explore, you know, what that is, what God was saying to us, because, you know, it's not, is church about going to church or is it about being the church?
Big difference.
And you can't go to what you are. All you can truly do is be. And what you meet in does not determine who you are. Who you are determines what's happening in that particular place. So it's whether it's a big, huge gathering or a small gathering. The expectations are the same of every one of us. It's not a different expectation. Even the person standing behind the $700 bouquet, behind the $3,000 podium, in front of the, you know, $10,000 choir robes, whatever's required of them is required of you. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. God expects every one of us to be able to follow him and to become his disciples. The one thing that we're doing is making disciples, we're supposed to do, is to make a disciple, become a disciple of Jesus Christ, those who know and follow his teachings, and then actually to make disciples. And that's what we have. As a matter of fact, I just talked about this at our previous program last week. Take a look.
Do you remember a time when God was moving in your life and you could hear the voice of God and you could hear feel the gentle promptings of Jesus Christ in your life and his spirit? This is what we're called to live in that place. But so many things, and especially religion, wars against that. But one way to start that is begin to say, you know what? I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to begin to walk down Emmaus Road. I want to begin to walk down this road with Jesus. That's the road that Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, he got on this road, and the road was going to Emmaus, and he was talking to his disciples. They couldn't tell it was him yet because he had their eyes just couldn't see yet in regards to who he really was. And he began to talk to them about who he was and in the scriptures, the Bible, and their hearts burned inside of them. It's about an intimate relationship with God. And it's been turned into religion, it's been turned into politics, it's been turned into all kinds of things. And, but what you were born for is intimacy with God. You were born for that. That's why they were willing to go back to a place of persecution. That's when you feel the most real, is when you're in the presence of God and you're speaking to God. There's nothing like it. And there's nothing worse than a religious spirit just tingling on and making all these noises. And it's like, why even do that? Well, Emmaus Road, we actually have an Emmaus Road for you that you could begin to walk down. Because he says, those who actually know my teachings and follow my teachings are disciples, Jesus said. And it's a very simple thing to do. I mean, you can choose the path that you want to be able to take. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, go to Hello Church, you see it right there. It says Emmaus Road, click on that. Emmaus Road Discipleship, and you can decide which way you want to go until you become a disciple today. I believe persecution is here and it's coming, and it's important to understand why you're being persecuted, and it's important to stay faithful to the Lord in the midst of that. And God wants you to know his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. He wants you to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding with him, we can't accomplish this. We can't live this life. We can't be the husband we're supposed to be, or the wife we're supposed to be, or the parents we're supposed to be, or the children we're supposed to be, or the pastor, or the business owner, or the political leader. God empowers us to be able to do that through an abiding experience with him. You know what? We even have an abiding plan for you. A lot of people want to abide with Jesus because he said, apart from abiding in me, you can't accomplish anything, but if you abide with me, you'll be fruitful. We have an abiding plan for you. It's a simple one. And you can find it right now at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. You go there, request the plan. It'll come to you in your email. and you can begin to abide with the Lord today. Be his disciple and abide with him. Follow his teachings, know his teachings, and hang out with him. There's nothing like it. They were willing to go through persecution for that.
Crisis has come into so many different areas of the earth. God told us that it was going to be a shaking. Mm-hmm. The Constitution weighs in the balance, but the kingdom never weighs in the balance. But we have to enter the kingdom. We have to enter. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Right now, what you're seeing is the church is seeking these things and not the kingdom. And if we're holding on to these things and not the kingdom, we won't have these things. And we're seeing what's happening in Venezuela right now. So I want to encourage you, begin to rethink. Ask God. God said, God, help me recommit my life. Let me return, like the church of Ephesus, to my first love. I want to begin to abide with you. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. Time is limited.
Yeah.
Man, I sure wish those Venezuelans would have actually gotten VFN TV down in South America, but you have it now. What are you going to do with this Jesus? He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But we have to respond to what he's doing. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, Lord, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us, God. We just pray for the people of Venezuela, Lord God, and all the crisis that's going on, that the food would be provided, that they would turn from government to God, they would realize that you will take care of them. You will cause the food to grow, and you will bring in wisdom, Lord God. We pray for the salvation of Venezuela, Father God. We pray for the salvation of America. And Father God, we pray for the protection of the church and Israel, Lord God, and the protection of the United States Constitution, God. Forgive us for taking it for granted. But we just pray right now for your church, God, that you would awaken your bride, that we would turn to you. And dear God, I ask you right now, Lord, that you would end abortion in America, that you would send revival, and you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.